One of the versions of this gospel story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness is always the first reading of Lent. It's from this story that we get the parameters for Lent, the 40 days and 40 nights of giving up some luxury or stripping away superfluous things to make space for God or studying the scripture so that we too could counter temptation. That's why we are forced to read and meditate on it on this Sunday every year. But it has long struck me as slightly out of place for this week's reading. By the end of the passage, Jesus is done with his time of fasting. He's attended to by angels and presumably breaks his fast and has his Easter feast at the end of the reading. But we are just getting started on our Lenten journeys. It seems a bad fit for the moment in the church year in which we find ourselves. But as I read the passage again this year, I felt like it was particularly apropos, not for this moment in the church calendar year, but for this moment in our shared life as a people. I feel a general sense of anxiety in our society that might mark a wilderness time that we need to learn how to live into faithfully and how to find God in it. The wilderness is the name the Bible gives to a place of scarcity and the anxiety that marks the in-between times of life, those liminal periods when we have left comfort and seek God, but know not how to find God yet. It's a seemingly lonely place that seems to beckon to self-reliance, as we see even from this passage. It's a place where the natural temptations are many, and I think many of us are living in such a place now. For instance, I think the existence of near constant job insecurity is a type of wilderness that too many in our community know all too well. I think the current political landscape has left many in a wilderness of sorts, a lonely outsider place with a lack of stable belonging, of being able to discern a future and plan for it. And I think that our modern culture has become one of a seemingly endless battle for power that has left many feeling that they lack the resources to succeed at the game that is being played, and maybe even the ability to understand it. Overall, I think these contribute to a generalized anxiety that is tangible in the world at this moment, that makes the analogy to the wilderness an appropriate one to dwell on and hopefully to learn from as Jesus tries to teach us how to push through the temptations of such a time in preparation for the coming season of deliverance. The first temptation in the wilderness of life is to try to be our own source, to fall into a trap of self-reliance that negates our constant acknowledgement of our need of God's grace. It was a temptation even for Jesus. He had gone without food for so long that there was real temptation to simply provide for himself, to turn the stones into bread. But simple bread was not what he needed, and he knew it. It wasn't just an immediate necessity that he desired, but the ability to believe that God would provide, that the Father was holding and upholding him in this time, and that he would be okay. That it was okay to be fully human, to be limited, and to look to God as a source was the gift of the desert as well as its test. I've known this wilderness and the temptation that goes with it in my own life before, as I'm sure most of you had. When I was out of work and looking for a job, or when resources were tight and I didn't know how to meet my needs with my meager means, when I fell into the mindset of thinking only of the immediate and not of the ultimate, and of believing that I must be all sufficient in myself. It's the American mindset to simply believe in the myth of self-reliance as an ultimate good. But I've also gotten a job and not had the anxiety go away as I think it should have. I've had the money to pay for the immediate need, only to then begin to worry about the next need on the horizon. Jesus knew the same thing. If he made bread, he would be hungry again in a few hours, and he would have no more faith than he had before. The only satisfying thing, the only thing that would quell the anxiety, was to trust that the Word of God was true, and God would provide for him, would care for him more generously than the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. The answer to the temptation is to give up the idea that we ultimately are in control, that we could provide for ourselves, and to instead start believing that God really is in control and will care and provide for us in our need. For some, the wilderness is less about a lacking or a hunger than it is about a lostness, not knowing where to go and what to do and how to respond at this current moment in history. Sometimes the wilderness of life is simply the place of wondering where God is at the moment and why you feel so alone. The temptation is to force God's hand. The temptation for Jesus was to jump off the peak and make God save him. It would have made God show up in that moment, but it wouldn't have been faithful, because it wouldn't have been following God, but rather forcing God or testing God. The temptation when we are lost and don't know what to do in the moment is to force God into supporting our actions, to claim God's support for what we want to do, rather than following the more difficult path of forcing ourselves to wait on God and support God's actions in the world. We claim God's support and approval of the things we do rather than doing the things we know God already approves of and supports. We shouldn't test God. Rather, we ask, what is God up to? And we use the wilderness time for reflection to seek God out with questions like, what would resurrection look like if it broke into this current reality? Or what does this Easter moment look like in our present world? And we prepare ourselves to live into that reality. God is at work and has been faithful and simply needs us to join in that work and strive to be equally faithful. And finally, for some, the wilderness is the feeling of powerlessness. Satan told Jesus to bow down and he would give him the world. The temptation we face is to find peace by simply bowing to another God, a God of power, a God of dominance, a God that makes sense by the rules of this world. We bow to money because it gives us what we want. We bow to powerful people because it's easier than speaking truth to power. We bow to prevailing social pressure because it makes us popular and we like the influence that comes with that. But those things are not ultimately true, and what we give up when we bow to them is an essential goodness, a claim to a greater reality. And grasping at that sort of power will always be fleeting, like it would have been for Jesus to bow down to Satan to become the ruler of a world that was passing away, instead of waiting on his time to be king of the eternal heavens and the new earth. We must learn to acknowledge that we are not powerful beings, and just live in that wilderness and be okay with worshiping the one who is. In all of these instances, Jesus was tempted to be more than human, but instead he showed us how to live as a human who was following and dependent on God. These have always been the fundamental temptations of human beings. They're the same temptations that arise in the Garden of Eden story that Adam and Eve succumbed to. They sought to provide for themselves, to name their own actions as the godly path rather than following what God had ordered. And they acknowledged another being as the God of their lives. The consequences were dire. Giving in to these temptations always leads to a fall of some sort. The answer in this time is to say no to self-reliance and to being our own source. No to taking God's name in vain, usurping God's place in the relationship, or claiming God's authority for everything we want to do. And no to naming anything else as the power in our lives. No to violence or raw power or some temporal authority as the idol of our lives. And instead to use the time to turn to God once again. The wilderness is the place where we get ready for the promised land. It's the season to prepare our hearts for Easter. It's a time to recognize our own insufficiency and rely on the grace of God alone. And it's a time to remove anything that would keep us from fully celebrating the meaning and miracle of the resurrection in our lives. The answer is to accept our own humanity, our frailness, and depend on God to be God. To experience the joy of the coming Easter, we must actually feel the need for salvation anew. We must dream of a healing we ourselves cannot provide and put our whole hope in it. We practice Lent every year because we must become comfortable living in this mode of life, to trusting God in the wilderness. Only when we can stand against the temptations and learn to breathe in the anxious space of the desert of life will we then be able to recognize the table spread for us in that wilderness, the tomb opened up and the possibilities that that miracle affords, or the gracious Savior taking our hand and leading us once again into the light of the promised land. Amen.